You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I'm answering a question from Yehudis in New York. I've actually answered one of her questions before, but this one is a much deeper level question. And I emailed her back and I told her I was so grateful for this because she's observing what I'm observing, what I suspect many of us are observing. And it's a pretty complicated question and it's pretty lengthy. So you might want to put your seatbelts on and make sure that you're comfy. But I want to dive into this because I think this is really, really important to understand what is going on, what I think is likely the cause behind it, and maybe how to better articulate and communicate in a different capacity why we disagree with the hypothesis that's being presented. So let me read parts of her email and then we'll dive in. She says, I'm not sure where to start because at least half the time when I listen to an episode, I think that I should email you, sometimes with a question, sometimes with a content, but often with nothing other than appreciation for the content that you're putting out. I listen to the podcast on my commute, and your enthusiasm, clarity, and the info you share sets my tone for the whole workday. I'm so happy about that. I could send an email that would be pages long if I wrote everything on my email Brenna list. But for now, I wonder how many of you all have an email Brenna list. I would like to know about that. But for now, I have a dilemma I'm hoping you could address in the podcast. Here's my question. In the past year or so, I've been seeing a trend where more and more therapists talk about child therapy as a, quote, last case resort. That, and I quote, when there's a child who's having a hard time, it's almost always the parents who need help. End quote. The belief is that ideally you work with parents and meet the child only if needed to help in working with the parents, and that working with a child directly is only done almost as a cop-out when parents aren't willing to, quote, do their own work. I've had one therapist go so far as to say that this is colluding with parents who want to shift the blame for family dynamics onto the child. When I've tried engaging these professionals in more conversation about this, I often get the comment that, quote, children don't have agency over their own lives, so if they're in a crappy situation, their 1 hour with you is not going to make a difference because nothing is changing outside of their own lives in their hour with you. Adults have more control over their lives. They can leave a marriage or change jobs, etc., so therapy can be more effective, end quote. This attitude bothers me on so many levels. Me too. Especially in the way that it insinuates that parents are the source of all child problems, and also that children are not humans in their own right, who are entitled to healing, growth, and support in therapy. Besides, isn't all therapy more about changing the person than having them change their situation or circumstances? I realize that working with children in difficult situations can leave us as therapists feeling helpless when we wish that we could change their circumstances and don't have the power to do that. I don't work with adults, so maybe in the adult therapy world, you feel less helpless because you can tell yourself that the adult is, quote, choosing not to change. I'm not sure I fully understand where this comes from, but I've heard it one too many times that I'm really grappling with it now. I believe with all my heart and soul in the power, beauty, and importance of play therapy and working directly with children. So this dilemma is more about how to intelligently communicate this to other professionals. And since you are way more articulate than I am, I'm hoping that you could discuss this on a podcast episode so that I can borrow your language as I continue to evangelize and educate the public about the work that we do. I don't know if this makes a difference, but when I've heard this from adult therapists, I chalk it up to ignorance, though I'd still like to be able to educate them. But lately, I've been hearing it from professionals who see all ages and have no specific play therapy training, but consider themselves experts in working with children and feel that their opinion about this is valid. As an aside, people with no training in child therapy who have a sand tray and deck of cards in their office who call themselves play therapists or child therapists bugs me to no end, but that's for another soapbox. Oh my gosh, that is a good email right there. Okay, so let's dive in. Gosh, I have so many thoughts, and in no particular prioritized order, these are just my brain dump of thoughts. So let's start with the allegation or the assumption that kids, I'm going to go back to see if I can find exactly what you said, a child doesn't have agency over their own lives. So if they're in a crappy situation, their 1 hour with you isn't going to make a difference because nothing is changing outside of their hour with you. Okay. So while that is loosely true, let's go with that assumption for a moment. So kids don't have agency over their lives. We talk about this a lot. Kids are told what to do, where to go, when to go, why to go, how to go. They have very little power and control over their lives. They certainly don't have control over their family dynamic. They don't have control over if parents get divorced. They don't have control over siblings. So I'll be in that camp. Kids don't have a lot of control over much. They don't have a lot of agency over their lives, which is exactly why CCPT means so much to a child. It's exactly why CCPT is the most helpful approach for a child, because they don't have power, they don't have control, and what gives some back to them? The child-centered approach, the playroom, the relationship with a CCPT, play therapist. We recognize kids don't have control, don't have agency, don't have power over circumstances. That's very helpless. That's very defeating. That's very overwhelming. And when we can say, yeah, your circumstances are what they are, but here's a new relationship, here's a new environment, here's a new opportunity to have control, have power, be in charge. That is so healing and freeing for a child. Why would we not want the child to be afforded that opportunity? So if we go with that line of thinking, they don't have agency, then by God, we better give them some opportunity to have some power and control. Secondly, we know, clinically speaking, across all modalities, across all ages of clients, the client, or in a more psychological term, the identified patient, is the change agent for the entire family. Let me say that again. The client, who with us is the child, is the change agent for the entire family. Because the person that's in therapy doing the work creates change. It becomes a catalyst for everyone to change, whether they like it or not. This is the really amazing thing about therapy. Think about the legal scales of justice. The balancing metal circles. I'm sure there's an official term for that, but whatever the things that hang from the chains on the legal scales of justice, whatever those things are called, that finds its natural homeostasis amongst family members. And when the child, who's one of those metal circles, starts to add a pebble or take a pebble away, the other side moves. It's the natural ebb and flow of family dynamics. So if we work with a child, even if the parents have all of the power and control in the relationship and how it goes, the child starts to make changes within him or herself. And then by default, whether they like it or not, everyone else changes too. You can't keep your scale where it was when the other side of the scale has gone up or down. It's impossible. So when the child becomes more regulated, when the child becomes more communicative, when the child becomes a person that has higher self-esteem, when they have a better emotional vocabulary, when they have worldview, when they make these changes in the playroom, everyone else in the family has to recalibrate and adjust. So why would we work with parents to the exclusion of a child when the child can be the change agent in the family? They become the catalyst for familial change. That's my second thought. My third thought is we know there are four universal outcomes to CCPT. I would love to see a world where every human has experienced the four universal outcomes in their life. Can you imagine that? Every human has regulation. Every human has emotional vocabulary. Every human has healthy self-esteem. And every human has a robust worldview. What do you think this world would be like if that were the case? Far improved, in my opinion. So, a child, regardless of parents' circumstances, regardless of family dynamic, regardless of anything that's going on, if a child goes through CCPT and gains those four universal outcomes, that makes the child and the world a better place. So I would argue just for that. I mean, there's so many other reasons why CCPT is helpful, but just for those four outcomes, I would say it's worth it. My fourth thought is we know this is well documented that CCPT works even when nothing in the child's world changes. That's been a long-running argument. Well, if you do CCPT and the child still goes back to a toxic environment, if you do CCPT and the child is still in an abusive relationship, if you do CCPT and the parents' divorce and contentious chaos is exactly the same, if you do CCPT and basically nothing else changes, you know, is this even worth it? And what do we know? That the child builds coping. The child builds resilience. The child builds problem solving. The child builds self-esteem. The child builds regulation. And guess what? When those things become a part of the child's life, they can handle anything better. Anything. What used to be, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, what if, what if, what if? I can't, I can't, I can't. Guess what? All of that changes to, I'll be okay. I'll figure it out. I hope that doesn't happen, but it'll be fine. Imagine a world full of people that think that way. When a child, no matter their circumstance, is afforded CCPT, they become stronger. They become more capable. They become more confident. They figure things out. They take initiative. They have internal locus of control. Everything about their lives get better, even if their circumstances don't change one bit. They go home and they're not unnerved by things anymore. They're not overwhelmed by things anymore. They don't get anxious about things anymore. So if we want children to be able to handle any circumstance, we don't force someone else to change so they don't have to deal with a circumstance. We equip them to deal with circumstances. That's resilience and coping and problem solving. Okay, my fifth thought, potentially the most offensive. I'm treading lightly here, y'all. Oh boy. I would argue that all of these people about whom you're speaking in this email, Yehudis, my argument is that they are advocating for working with parents because working with adults is easier. And if they could hack it working with kids, they would. Said with love and grace. Do you know how easy it is to work with adults? And I am not downplaying the skills and the training and the experience of adult therapists. I'm not. You know my heart. I'm not being critical. I'm trying to juxtapose a situation here. We are adults. Talking to an adult is easy. I'm not saying hard work doesn't take place in an adult therapy room. I'm not saying an adult therapist doesn't have to be highly trained and skilled and competent. I'm not downplaying or undermining any of that. But what I'm saying is we are adults. Adults who are clients are easy to talk to. There's rational conversation. There's cognitive processing. There's the capacity for abstract reasoning. There's an intellectual dialogue that takes place. That is easy because that's what we're capable of and we're used to. You sitting here listening to me right now requires you being an adult. because it's cognitive and it's intellectual and it's rational and you have to have abstract reasoning. It's easy to talk to an adult. And I believe in the depth of my being that people who argue that you have to include parents and you have to work with the adult and they are the biggest factor in a child's health and well-being, it's because they have no idea how to work with a child effectively. And guess what? Working with kids is hard. It's really, really hard. Because we have to abandon everything that we know cognitively and meet a child where they are developmentally. And we have to know the why behind every single thing that comes out of our mouth. And we have to know exactly the ways in which are going to be most well received by a child with the things that we say and the things that we do. We have to get ourselves out of the way. We have to make it about the child and not us. We have to trust the process. We have to stay adherent. We have to provide freedom when what we really want is to control things sometimes. I could go on and on and on. CCPT and working with children is very difficult. So those who say, no way, working with kids is last ditch effort because I'm just going to work with the parents. That's because it's easy. So let's address your comment here that, quote, working with a child directly is only done as a cop-out when parents aren't willing to do their own work. I'm going to gently say that working with parents and avoiding working with a kid is also a cop-out. Because there is no way in this world that a child coming out of an environment where parents need to do that much work doesn't need and deserve their own work. Do you see what I'm saying there? In other words, if a therapist is going to argue that the parents need to do so much of their own work that they're going to prioritize working with the parents, don't even think about telling me that that child doesn't need to do their own work as a result of that family dynamic and environment. But working with kids is really, really hard. That's why most therapists won't do it. And those that see adults that are also willing to see kids, that's why they have a deck of cards and a stuffed animal in their room and they say, yeah, I'll see kids. They don't know how to work with children. And that's why this podcast exists. That's why the collective exists. That's why the coaching exists. Why? Because we need a world full of really, really highly trained and skilled CCPTs. Kids deserve that. And then my last thought is, I agree with you. You said that you sometimes chalk this up to ignorance, and I agree. Most graduate programs don't address therapy with children. Most graduate programs do not have play therapy courses. Most graduate programs are adult-centric. So unless you have been thrust into working with children against your will, which I know many of you have, and then you scrambled to find some help, and here we are listening to my podcast, or you decided at some point you wanted to work with children, and then you had to go on a journey to educate yourself. You didn't get educated in grad school most of the time. So regardless of how you find yourself on the CCPT path, you likely didn't get it in your standard training. You had to willfully and intentionally seek out help to work with kids. So all these therapists that work with adults, it's all they know. And you don't know what you don't know. And when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So if you feel comfortable with adults and you know how to work with adults and that's your background, it would make sense that you're going to prioritize working with adults because it aligns with your tools. When all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So it's really easy to justify, oh, well, of course I have to work with the parents because they're the ones that have agency over their lives. They're the ones that can change things. They're the ones that can do the work. They're the ones that can think about this and process this. All that is true. But when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. If you were trained in CCPT, I guarantee you all you would see is how desperately that child needs it. All you would see was the dysregulation and the dysfunction and the lack of self-esteem and the high levels of anxiety and the inability to cope and the lack of resilience. You would see everything that we see if you knew what we know. So I do agree with you that it is largely ignorance as well. And what's our job as a CCPT? What do we do on behalf of kids? Thank you. We advocate. So we advocate for the child being the client. We advocate for how important it is. We advocate for the universal outcomes. We advocate for the child becoming the change agent. We advocate for how much they need resilience and coping skills, how much they need control over something in their lives. That becomes our advocacy in a situation like this. So my hope is that you now have some language, you now have some bullet points, you have some things to fall back on. So the next time someone says to you, oh, no, we're going to work with parents before we would work with kids. Oh, hold the phone. Let's have a conversation. Let me tell a really quick story. And I know this is a longer episode, but I warned you, you needed to be comfortable and have a seatbelt on. So let me tell you a really quick story. I had someone that was ready to join one of my coaching programs. And we did our discovery call and she signed up. And shortly thereafter, she sends me an email and says, my supervisor is really having a lot of questions and doesn't seem to be very supportive of this. And I'm not sure that I'm effectively communicating this. You know, I don't really know how to handle this. So I said, let me have a call with your supervisor. I can answer any questions. I can explain the program, go into the whole thing. I had a 40-minute conversation with this supervisor who has, quote, been working in the field for 20 years. So likely my age or thereabout and same amount of time in the field. And I was explaining the rationale for not having parents in a CCPT playroom and for meeting with parents every 5 sessions with the child and for the child-therapist relationship and the importance of that. And I thought I was just answering questions and making sure that information was clearly communicated. And the entire 40 minutes was her gently arguing with me and politely disagreeing, end quote. I'm going to politely disagree, respectfully disagree, because I've been working in this field for 20 years. And in every place I've ever worked, with every organization, with every agency, in any capacity, the parents have been actively involved in sessions with kids. And you will never convince me that that is not a healthier way, because if you isolate the child and you only work with the child, you're preventing the parent from becoming the person to whom the child is bonded, or something along those lines. And we're not going to be in the child's life forever. So we have to pass that relationship over to the parent. And if it's just between us and the child, we're getting in the way of the parent-child relationship. And it was 40 minutes of complete disagreement. And I sat there the whole time thinking, you've only ever known one thing. And so you believe that is absolute truth. But how do we ensure that a child has the freedom and autonomy to work through their stuff if we don't give the child and the child alone enough respect and dignity and chance to work on their stuff? They can't work on it on their own. They can't work on it with their parents. They need a third-party, neutral, objective person with whom they can go on this journey. And with a parent in the room, or with a parent as the focus of the therapeutic intervention, the child's never going to be able to do the work that they need to do. I got off that call and I literally just kind of scrunched up my forehead and sat there looking at the sky for a second, like, what in the world? I'm not saying parents shouldn't be involved. They should. We have better outcomes when parents are involved. We know that. But parents are not the focus of our work. The child is. That's why it's called child-centered. Child-centeredness says you matter. Your needs are important. Your issues, your struggles, you have the opportunity to become a better version of yourself. This is why we advocate for CCPT, because we know what happens. People that have never been in a child-centered playroom, never had a child-centered approach to a client, they've never done an entire course of treatment with a child using CCPT, they're clueless. And I don't mean that in a critical way, but you don't know what you don't know. You have no conceivable notion of what happens in a CCPT playroom until you're trained enough to be in a CCPT playroom with a child. So they might not ever get there unless they dive into the world of CCPT. I pray that they do. But regardless, for those of us that do know, it's our job to communicate. It's our job to articulate. It's our job to advocate. Kids need it. And when you know, you know. And with knowledge comes responsibility. So get out there, start convincing all of these colleagues who are willing to disagree with you that they need to have a more open mind about the process and better understand why CCPT is so important for kids. All right, y'all. I love you. I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.